I just got to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the very best school I have ever seen in my 30 years as a Christian. Over 100 people on staff, Christ-centered, top academics, affordable, and all of this for your kids, ages 2.5 years to 12th grade. Call Maranatha Christian Center at 303-431-5653. That's Maranatha, 431-5653.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian station in America. In fact, the most powerful radio station between Chicago and Los Angeles. This Saturday is the March for Life around the nation, and here in Colorado, we'll be meeting at the west steps of the state capitol at 1:30 Saturday afternoon. Downtown Denver at the state capitol, and I'm hoping you'll be there. One of the folks there that I'm so eager to talk to listen to, will be the featured speaker, Dr. Patrick Johnston, who founded an Ohio pro-life physicians organization. So, Dr. Patrick Johnston, welcome to Bob Benyard Live.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Doctor, you are going to be speaking at the state capitol, and we were excited to hear from Joe Scott yesterday that you and I are not strangers.
Not at all. I've been a long time fan of yours. I've watched your videos and listened to many of your programs, read your books. Your tape series on God's criminal justice system has probably gotten me in trouble more than any other thing I've ever watched or read.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, Doctor. And it's
that idea upsets a lot of people.
Yeah, when you take God's word literally, like God gets angry at the slaughter of the innocent. It's not just something he's decided, well, I'm going to be against this to be a party pooper. He gets angry because he loves people. He's created us. And children are the most innocent of all his mm-hmm. creatures. They haven't turned against him, and they're slaughtered by the thousands mm-hmm. every day in America. So you're coming out from Ohio to Colorado to speak at the March for Life. What are you going to be telling us?
Well, I'm going to be, should I let it out of the bag?
Well,
one of the things I'm going to be speaking and motivating people to do what is necessary in order to stop abortion. I don't think most of us in the pro-life movement really are willing to do what is necessary in order to stop abortion.
Stop it.
Either because we disagree with what the Bible says is necessary to stop abortion, or because we don't have the courage to do it, or we fear being called names.
So
hate-monger,
that we're sort of comfortable having ministries against abortion, but and if somehow abortion stopped it, it'd be like we'd be out of a job. So, well, let's do this then, Doctor. We know that there are people in the audience who are pro-choice, who are liberal, and who think there's nothing wrong with abortion. Can you and I, let's take some time and try to convince that one person. Let's think of a young woman out there who's attending CU up in Boulder, University mm-hmm. of Colorado, and she's pro-choice. So mm-hmm. let's start there. Why should she care what a couple guys on the radio are saying about a woman's right to have an abortion?
Well, let me give you the four bad reasons real good. I say the four bad reasons because they're the reasons most pro-lifers use. And then the one superior reason. Well, the four bad reasons are, and these are convincing, but they are not the coup de grace. We got to go beyond these. Biologically speaking, life begins at fertilization. At that point, whether we like that fact or not is irrelevant.
Right.
At that point, we're human, we're alive, we're sexed, we're complete, moving and growing. Dead things and non-living things do not do this. We're just fetuses grown up. So human embryos and fetuses are just people. So biologically...
So we're just fetuses grown up.
That's right.
That's
I got that
good.
From you, actually.
Oh, you did. Okay. All right. We're just fetuses grown up.
Yep,
okay.
That's it. We're just So intrauterine people and extrauterine people, biologically speaking, they're just people at different stages of development. And that is verifiably proven in the medical community. That there's not questioned anymore. That's a fact. And so another reason is because, Roe versus Wade was undemocratic. Basically, through judicial fiat, the Supreme Court overruled the democratic consensus of every state that had restrictions on abortion. Roe versus Wade is unconstitutional. The Constitution forbids the government from depriving someone of life or liberty without due process, without conviction in a court of law.
Is that the third reason?
That's the third bad reason.
Okay, so that Roe v. Wade was not democratic. That was the second reason. And Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional. All right, that's the third reason. Third bad reason.
Right.
All right.
And the last reason is most Americans are against most abortions for most of the reasons they're being done.
Mm.
Now I say they're bad reasons. Those reasons, those are the reasons that some of the things that many attorneys try to resort to try to stop abortion or regulate abortion in the political community, they falter because even if you accept that biologically the fetus is a living human being, many feminists have even justified abortion, admitting that, it's a living human being they're killing, but it's justified killing on the basis of self-defense. Their body's being invaded, their health's at risk, and they have the ability to defend themselves against an invader.
Exactly. That is a strategic move, a turn they began to take in the 1990s, and putting it in print in articles and books that, because they realize as science and technology continues, General Electric now has their 4D ultrasound. You see the baby in the womb sucking his thumb, playing with his toes.
Sure.
He goes to sleep. He dreams. His eyes move in REM. They could read the brainwaves of the baby going into alpha and beta stages. So they know it's a living human being. So they said, look, we don't care that it's a living human being. Our right supersedes the right of this this baby human, and we will kill it if we don't want it.
And that's why we have to go beyond biology if we're going to stop abortion in America.
Hmm.
Now, I admit, I carry the large posters of abortion victims on the sidewalks in front of an abortion clinic because the truth pierces. The truth is convincing. The lies dissipate when that pregnant woman gets one look of that innocent baby that's been slaughtered by another woman in similar circumstances as hers. But it's insufficient because it's not going to stop abortion. Appealing to the fact that it was undemocratic, that it's unconstitutional, those are inadequate to stop abortion.
Right.
There are many, many things that are undemocratic and even unconstitutional. It was slavery in America at one point in our nation's history had an indirect constitutional justification.
Oh, yeah.
Constitution wasn't written by the finger of God.
Right.
It was worthy of amendment, and so even though it is unconstitutional, we can't stop at that because the Constitution can always be amended to justify abortion, even if we succeed in making that case.
Yeah, and we had the AFA on this show, Dr. Patrick Johnson, just a couple weeks ago, Tim Wildman, who's the president of the AFA, son of Don Wildman, and they have a huge nationwide effort underway right now calling for urging George W. Bush to nominate strict constructionist judges. And we pointed out that those are the exact kind of judges that gave us the Dred Scott decision and said you have the right to own black people as property. And if states in the U.S. amend their own state constitution to give women the right to kill their unborn children, then the judges that the AFA are calling for and most conservative Christians, they'd uphold the right to abortion in that state.
That's right. Overturning Roe versus Wade is inadequate to protect the innocent and abate the wrath of God. It's not going to be sufficient. You're fighting a battle that even if you win, will not stop the child killing. You're exactly right.
All right. So
we don't like to hear that because what a great victory we would think that would be to overturn Roe versus Wade. And George Bush is our man to do that. First of all, George Bush appointed child killers when he was governor of Texas, and those are the kind of strict constructionists he said he was going to appoint. So you can probably bet Miguel Estrada, who has worked for the National Organization of Women to prosecute pro-lifers.
Now, wait a minute. Miguel Estrada, George W. Bush, didn't he appoint him as a federal judge?
He did, yep.
And,
but unfortunately, the pro-life movement consists this guy's pro-life just because the Senate doesn't like him. But there's really no evidence that he's pro-life. He's worked for NOW and tried to prosecute pro-lifers for RICO violations. This guy is not pro-life. He's about as pro-life as Sandra Day O'Connor. And Reagan, by the way, insisted she was pro-life, too, and was wrong.
Right.
So and, I'm not impressed.
And we now have John Ashcroft's replacement at the Justice Department is the man that George W. Bush helped to put on the Texas Supreme Court and then brought as his chief legal counsel to the White House, who's blatantly pro-abortion. And the Justice Department has an extraordinary influence on the battle against abortion in America.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
So, all right. So, okay. So there's a woman listening. She's a student at CU up in Boulder, and she's heard us give reasons that will probably not be very persuasive to her. We could say the fetus is a living human being.
Mm-hmm.
And she could look in a textbook, a biology textbook, an OBGYN textbook, Williams Obstetrics, a standard
That's
classic.
Right.
And she could say, yep, they're right, that a fetus is alive and it's of the human species. So it's a living human being. But she says, I don't care. I still think a woman has the right to have an abortion. Roe v. Wade, I don't care if seven justices overruled 50 states. I don't care. If it's unconstitutional, I don't care because I believe in it. And whether or not other Americans are against abortion, I don't care. There are a lot of men out there, and I'm a woman. They have no right to tell me what to do with my body.
Right.
So she's not persuaded.
What I would tell her, lovingly and compassionately, we are to speak the truth in love with a good attitude, but that God's commandment against killing innocent people has not been amended for women in a crisis pregnancy.
Mm.
God forbids the killing of, and he, according to Matthew 25, he takes it personally when the least of these are exploited and violated and abused by the stronger, the privileged, the wealthy, etc. He takes it personally, so much so that he tells those on his left hand, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because you didn't treat me as you would want to be treated. And they said, and they will say, when do we mistreat you? When do we abuse you and not take care of you? And Jesus will say unto them, inasmuch as you mistreated the least of these, you mistreated me. You've abused me. You've exploited me. God takes it personally. And so she's going to stand before God and give an account for the deeds of her life. Her life is going to lay open and bare before God. And the Bible says, barring repentance and faith in Christ, in 1 John it says, a murderer has no eternal life abiding in them. And murderer is defined not by our democratic consensus or our Supreme Court or a vote. It's defined, and not even by biological fact when it comes right down to it. Murder is defined by the author of right and wrong. He is the arbiter. The God that made us is the arbiter of right and wrong, justice and injustice. And he forbids abusing, exploiting, and taking the lives of innocent people, regardless of their perceived inferior status.
So
she needs to fear the Lord and do the right thing regardless of the consequence.
All right, so this student from CU up in Boulder, she's going to go to bed tonight and be thinking maybe about your arguments and the fact that an unborn child is a living human species. She doesn't really care because she's been told that we've just evolved from animals, and animals kill other animals. Some animals kill their young even after they're born, and who cares if it's convenient? And democracy, she doesn't really care about the Constitution. She doesn't read that. And most Americans are against abortion. So what? Most Americans don't know her, and they don't know her needs.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the Word of God does not return void. And whether it brings people to repent or it is evidence, it's testimony, it gets them on the day of judgment. One or the other, God's Word is effective. And the ultimate answer is that God will judge those who kill innocent human beings.
He will judge, and he will judge the nations that allow it too, which is another completely different topic. But for that woman, and there's probably a woman at UC Boulder who's convicted right now. She's had an abortion. Maybe she regrets it. Maybe she doesn't, but she's beginning to think, well, if there's a God, he's going to hold me accountable for what I did, then I'm in trouble. Well, the truth is she is in trouble, but God is also a God of forgiveness. The shame and the way she, in her mind, punishes herself for what she did, the misery, all of that was absorbed by Jesus Christ on the cross, and so he died for her and can give her eternal life. Paul was one of the greatest apostles, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament.
He was a murderer.
He was a murderer. He was a blasphemer, but God forgave him. David, the man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murdered the woman's husband. God forgave him. He is a God of mercy. And so if she will repent, turn to the Lord and call upon his name, he will forgive her of her sins. That is an important part of my message as well.
And the horrific death that Christ endured on the cross, it was because our sins are so devastating. The way we hurt others, and then we try to justify ourselves, and we don't admit that we were wrong. And for God to be able to forgive those who repent, he can't just make believe it didn't happen.
Right.
Because then what would be the motivation for all of his creatures not to just continue to sin again and again, even in heaven?
Giving license to sin is what he'd be endorsing anarchy.
Yeah, even in heaven throughout all eternity, so that heaven would become hell. But in order to be able to forgive us, God had to punish sin, and Jesus Christ, God the Son, was willing to take that punishment on the cross. And so when we look at a baby, a child who's killed in the womb, and we look at the ways that abortionists, they kill these kids for money, and it's so horrific to see what they do. I mean, partial birth abortion, that's one technique. And even though we ban partial birth abortion, that doesn't actually stop any abortions, as best I can tell.
Not at all. They'll be doing it by other procedures. The dilation evacuation method is arguably more painful than the partial birth abortion procedure. Instead of just a quick kill to the back of the head like the partial birth abortion procedure, dilation and an evacuation procedure, they just basically rip the child limb from limb. So it's a pro-life movement running on a treadmill because they've abandoned God's standard of right and wrong and justice and injustice.
Up in Boulder, Colorado, there's an abortionist, Warren Hearn. He wrote the textbook, Abortion Practice. And in there, he pioneered a technique where you put the pregnant woman late term, second, third trimester abortion. You put the woman on an ultrasound and you take a needle filled with a poison. And you inject that poison into the baby, into his cardiosac, and it kills the baby, and then you dismember the baby. And so...
there's a doctor, Martin Haskell, in Dayton, and he is doing partial birth abortions, but killing the baby first through an intracardiac injection of digoxin or potassium.
Right.
The partial birth abortion procedure signed by George Bush... Even if it survives the judicial test, it will not stop Martin Haskell because the partial birth abortion procedure forbids it on living fetuses.
Right, right.
The baby's killed first, they can do the partial birth abortion procedure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, here's what is happening. The partial birth abortion ban will save zero lives. Not one abortion will be canceled because they can't do that technique.
But abortionists will make more money because now they can justify that injection. They can charge for that.
Well, yeah, but even more destructive than that is that there are thousands of politicians across this country who are pro-abortion, pro-choice, who can go to their constituencies and say, I voted against partial birth abortion. I supported the ban on partial birth abortion. Radical pro-abortion politicians have been saying that now for years. And people are easily misled, and they think, hey, you know, this guy, he's not an extremist. He's not an extremist pro-abort, like I heard some guy on the radio say. He's pretty reasonable. He was even against partial birth abortion. So what we do is we give cover. We provide cover for pro-aborts because we want some kind of victory, and it doesn't matter that it's hollow and shallow, empty, and in fact, it even gives help to the opposition. We're so proud of ourselves that we achieved a political victory.
Yeah, when we abandon God's standard, our remedy for our nation's ills can be worse than malady. It can be worse than the disease.
Well, what a great point. And if we were in Nazi Germany and we outlawed Zyklon B gas for killing Jews.
There you go.
And the legislation made it very clear you could kill Jews with other poisonous gases, and you could kill them in ovens, and you can line them up along ditches that they dug and shot and killed them, but you can't use Zyklon B gas. And everybody's right. Celebrating, the whole country, I mean the whole pro-life community, except for the radicals, the extremists, they think the partial birth abortion ban is a huge victory.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame. We need the prophets to stand forth and proclaim the truth of God on this matter, because this is an abomination that the church is supporting the regulation of this child killing in such a fashion when all it does is perpetuate the child killing and help put child killers in office.
Well,
it's a shame.
Well, we have an ongoing debate with Christians on the air and off the air, and our position is this. When they want to, you know, piecemeal go against stopping abortion, and I'm all for saving one life. If there are 1,000 people that are going to be murdered and you can only save one, I'm all for saving that one.
Right.
But what I'm not going to do is put a gun to a head of a little boy or girl and kill that little child because I think it might help me save some other kid.
Sure. I will not justify the killing of some in order to try to save that one.
Yeah, not the intentional killing of individual human beings. So, for example, any law, pro-lifers are big at introducing laws and even passing laws that end with, and then you can kill the child. So if you go through these bureaucratic steps, then you could kill the child. And you know what? I think it's bizarre because the legal victories they have when they do that, like you can kill the child if the parents agree. So parental consent.
Yeah.
You can kill the child if the parents agree. That is so utterly despicable. All you have to do to understand how evil that is to change the crime. Change it to a different crime.
Yep.
Change it to the killing of Jews or the owning of blacks as slaves or rape.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there's an acknowledgement of what I'm doing, then you could rape, then you could enslave, then you could murder Jews. That's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah. And so, but
we've picked a battle line so far to the left that we got child killers on our side of the line. And God's line is so much further to the right that when he sends his wrath upon our nation for the unretributed innocent bloodshedding in our land, we will be worthy of absorbing that wrath along with those we're fighting. We haven't drawn the line in the sand where God has.
Wow. So that, for example, we have the former New York mayor, Rudy Giuliani, who so many pro-life leaders, they're on the air, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They love the guy, and he not only supports all abortion, but even, it should be so obvious, he supports even partial birth abortion, which it should be obvious that is the slaughter of innocent child that is just as violent and just as wicked as what happened on 9/11. And you've got supposedly pro-lifers like Sean Hannity and Hugh Hewitt. Have you heard of Hugh Hewitt?
I've read his name before somewhere.
All right. Well, he's a leading conservative Christian Republican talk show host out of California. He's a Harvard lawyer. And he has said on my show, I challenged him, if in 4 years Rudy Giuliani is the Republican nominee for president, and he said I'd support him. He'd support him. And Hugh Hewitt is on Salem Radio, the biggest Christian network in the country, although they just sold out and went public. And it seems like most of their hosts, or a good number now, are not Christian. But he is probably the number one Christian conservative talk show host in the country right now.
With pro-lifers like that, who needs pro-choicers?
Yeah, right, exactly. So Rudy Giuliani, whether you're murdering Jews or you're murdering babies, there's no significant difference. And this is what the Christian community, the pro-life community, is going to.
One of the things I'm trying to do in the medical community, and we've succeeded in my county here, is I'm trying to reinvigorate the pro-life plank of the Hippocratic Oath. The original Hippocratic Oath forbade physicians from killing their patients, including prescribing an abortifacient to their patient, prescribing something that's going to cause an abortion.
Now, wait a minute. The Hippocratic Oath is over 2,000 years old.
Well, for many hundreds of years, physicians have taken an oath modeled after the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to do is what Hippocrates did in Greece, he basically drew a line in the sand and say, I'm going to start a new type of doctor that won't kill their patients.
Wow.
And patients either became, doctors either became Hippocratic physicians or in time they lost business because patients voted with their dollars. So I'm trying to re-stigmatize child killing in the medical community. I've got 8 doctors now who've publicly said, I will not permit or refer for abortions, and I believe life begins at fertilization. And now I'll be meeting with pastors, a meeting with community leaders, educating the community on who these physicians are so they can be preferred by patients. We're going to make that an issue in the medical community, and it's my hope by the time I'm dead we'll have that in every medical community in the nation. We'll have a reinvigorated Hippocratic movement of physicians who will take a stand on this issue.
So
now, I agree that that is not sufficient to abate the wrath of God that our nations do, but you got to kill the lion and the bear before you get to the Goliath. You know, it's a start.
Sure.
And it's trying to be an influence in my sphere of influence.
Sure, and we all, you know, we all have different abilities from God, and it's not like there's only one tactic that everyone should take. It's not like everyone should do what I do. Everyone should host a radio show. Everyone should support Physicians for Life or something.
Right.
It's that we all, none of us have from God a get out of responsibility free card where you are not responsible for the bloodshed going on in your community. In the Bible, God says, hey, look, if somebody's murdered near your town, I hold your whole town accountable.
That's right.
If you have the kind of society that people get murdered and no one is held accountable, then you're all responsible.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Actually, I'm going to mention that in my lecture Saturday.
Great.
At the end of the March to Life, because Colorado's leaders and politicians, local community leaders even, have no business pointing their finger to the Supreme Court saying they won't let us stop abortion. God holds the local community responsible for pursuing justice,
right,
and for the blood guilt if justice is not discovered. And so,
well, the Colorado
has the power, they have the constitutional obligation, and they have the commandment of God to stop abortion and do justice for the unborn. But do they have the will to obey? Mm. That's what it comes down to.
Our state legislature here, controlled by the Republican Party in Colorado, a few years back, they give out a Man of the Year award, Person of the Year, and they gave it to the Boulder abortionist, Warren Hearn. And that was the Republican Party of the state of Colorado. So
unbelievable.
And, yeah, and some pro-lifers say, why aren't you guys totally sold out to the Republican Party? The Republican Party has done a lot to promote abortion.
Sure.
And
that's why I'm vice chairman of the Constitution Party of Ohio. Mm.
Hey,
the only pro-life party.
We are out of time, Dr. Patrick Johnson. What an honor to talk with you.
Thank you. I look forward. I'm going to try to come to your church Sunday. I really look forward to meeting you.
Well, I had a note here from my producer to give you a cordial invitation to attend and to tell you that if you attend from the sermon, you're not going to hear Don't Judge, and you're not going to hear that all sins are the same. So you're invited, and it'll be an honor to have you there, Doctor.
God bless you,
Thank
Bob.
You. God bless you. That's Dr. Patrick Johnson. Come to the state capitol Saturday, 1:30 at the West Steps. You'll have a great time, and I'll look forward to seeing you there. And, hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat place. Give them a call, 431-5653. That's 431-5653.